Ladies and gentle spoons, welcome back to,
Mambo number 5.
No, this is probably Mambo number, like, what, 82 by this point?
How many of these podcasts have you done?
This is, in fact, the improvised title podcast with Truman Barnes. My name is Truman Barnes. I have today special guests, Henry Riker. Henry, say hi.
Hey.
I said hi, say hi, not huh.
Why hi?
Thank you. I have Katrina Marsden. Kat, say hi.
Hello.
Close enough. And I have Thomas Stay returning. He was in the second episode, but he's here now. Thomas, do not say hi.
Okay.
Thank you. And today, we are sitting in an IHOP, so if you hear some vague elevator music behind us, that's why. It's not elevator.
Hey,
unless this IHOP is elevating us to
Dude.
Another level.
I'm so elevated right now.
Excuse me. So... it is also 2 in the morning, so, I mean, take that into account.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, crap, we missed Pringles time.
Time is relative, if you really think about it.
So, today, we're going to be talking about, or at least we're going to try to talk about, the movie Knives Out. Knives Out is a 2019 film, written and directed by Rian Johnson. And, we just saw it, just barely. So when we let's do a couple minutes spoiler free, and then we'll take an ad break, and then we'll go into spoiler mode. So first off, everyone, first impressions of the movie. What would you say, spoiler free?
The music kind of got better and better toward the end. I'm gonna spoil like the first second of the movie, because come on, that's the part you actually can. It starts with this big fanfare, and that felt really out of place. But maybe if I watched it again, I'd be like, okay, it's parodying itself. Truman mentioned
the
genre
vibes, yeah.
Yeah, the weird strings that are kind of there throughout the whole movie.
The violins, way cellos. Acts, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the, you know, characters and their interactions.
And I was talking about the score. And the fact that those match is a good thing, I think.
I'd agree with you, for sure.
I would feel go like... so far as to say that may even have been intentional.
Oh, definitely. The entire movie, but specifically the score, I noticed, is basically a self-parody of the genre. And yet also being an homage to the entire genre and everything about it. And that's just one of the reasons why I love the movie. So my first impression, I loved it. It was really good.
So my impression of it was, at the beginning I thought, oh hey, why am I watching this? In the middle of it, I'm like, oh, I
know why
I'm
watching this.
I know why I'm watching this, but because this is really good. It's got good acting, it's got great dialogue. But I was like, this plot seems terrible. Like, this is hardly a whodunit at all. However, I could see a few ways how this would be really good, and I thought I had the ending down, and then realized that I did not have the ending down towards the end, and I was like, oh, so this is where it's going. And I thought that was really good.
Okay, be careful of spoilers. Yes. Be careful of spoilers. And then Kat, anything you want to mention real quick?
Yeah, so like an hour before I showed up to this movie, I was watching this other like really bad detective flick called Motherless Brooklyn, I think. It was in dollar theaters.
Really?
I've heard
good things about that one.
Oh, I hated it. It's like 2.5 hours long, and like...
It doesn't need to be?
Well, I don't think it needs to be more than 1 or 2 seconds long.
Okay.
And those 2 seconds are just like a guy on a white background saying to the screen, hey, don't watch this movie, and then it ends. But, yeah, this is a good detective movie because I like it.
Well, yeah, I think in what you mentioned with Motherless Brooklyn, that's an interesting fact because, like, I would really enjoy that movie because of the redundancy of it. By the time that you've seen the man saying, hey, don't watch this movie, you've watched the entire movie.
Good.
So real quick, we just got a special guest.
Oh, please, no.
Guest don't. To the podcast. She just left. She just shook her head and walked away.
You can't do that.
You can do this to the people at work.
Permission to adjust the mic, by the way?
Not legally, but I will anyway. Permission granted. Great. So if you can hear me a little less good now, it's because Henry's
because
selfish.
He deserves it.
I moved it a little closer to Kat because I think she's the quietest of the four of us.
Mm. Ah, shucks.
That's a fair observation.
I liked the acting on the part of everybody except for, I don't know actors' names, James Bond.
Daniel Craig.
Sure.
He did the thing they asked him to, though.
He did. So I suppose maybe I just don't like the character design. He starts out all mysterious. Okay, he continually is all mysterious, but then we're supposed to, sympathize with him.
And he's supposed to be, I don't know, later on he turns into, kind of a comic relief
sort of
situation.
That felt forced.
His dialogue, beautiful, brilliant.
I don't know how I feel
about
him.
I thought it was pretty great.
Dialogue was good.
Yeah.
Concept of the character, terrible.
How was he written? I don't know.
He was Southern.
We talk about the main character, though.
Well,
her name is...
Real quick, I want to mention about Daniel Craig's character. It took me a little while to get used to the Southern accent, just because the only other thing I'd seen Daniel Craig in was Skyfall. And so, I'd gotten used to his natural...
Skyfall!
Yeah, that one.
And it Dumbo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, it took some getting used to, but I enjoyed it overall. And I'd heard, weird things... Pardon me. I'd heard weird things about his accent, and so I was expecting it to be a lot worse than it was, but I got used to it eventually, and then it didn't bother me at all.
I mean, he did a good job.
His accent was weird, though.
Yeah. Main character. I haven't seen her in anything else, I don't think.
I have. Don't know what it is.
She was so good, though. Yeah. No, I...
The acting was great.
Like I said, acting was...
She played
was
the character decent. Super well.
Are we going to, go full into spoiler mode all at once, or are we going to, gradually slide into spoiler mode?
So not quite yet.
The podcast is designed to be listened to with one ear while with the other ear you watch the movie.
I think so. I think, yeah. So, by this point...
This is, live.
By this point, you would have gotten to one of the best comedic beats in the film, where, and I'm not going to spoil it. Never mind. I'll get to that in the spoilers. So real quick, let's just go around the table and everyone give it stars out of 10.
Wait, hold on. The main character in that was also in Blade Runner 2049. No Time to Die, which is not out yet.
Right. Yeah.
Shoot. Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves in it.
Yeah, Keanu I guess Reeves. Maybe I...
Oh, he was in... or she was in Despicable Me. Really?
As whom?
Wow, that's...
What was she in Despicable Me? She was... She was...
The most tangentially related extra voice part.
I don't think they'd sell her.
She just provided, a scream in the background. They had to credit her, though.
Okay, wait. Am I allowed to go on a tangent?
By all means.
Only if you...
I recently discovered D. Bradley Baker.
Oh, yeah.
The reason why is because, due to a strange conversation that actually Kat and I had once,
hi.
I was wondering who I would cast to play the 30 or so... main characters in Brandon Sanderson's Stormlight Archive. And I kind of pulled these from some that were great actors, and some that were our friends, this girl Sherston, but there's one character, the Stormfather, who's the god of storms and this disembodied voice, and I went, wow, who does great disembodied voices? And I thought of a couple different options. I thought of Varix from Destiny, the video game,
yeah.
And the Gravemind from the Halo series, because I am a diehard Halo fan. And I looked it up, and those two are the same voice, D. Bradley Baker, along with Perry the Platypus, both Appa and Momo from Avatar The Last Airbender, and every single clone trooper in the Star Wars The Clone Wars series.
Okay, but was he in 2019's critically acclaimed hit... murder mystery thriller
Cats?
Film.
No, but Thomas was talking about voice actors, and that's my tangent.
Knives Out.
Yeah, but hang on. Speaking of D. Bradley Baker, you know what else he's in? G-Force.
The one with the hamsters?
Yep.
Yeah, gerbils. I did not realize how much of an all-star cast Despicable Me is. So we got Steve Farrell as Gru.
Steve, did you call him Steve Farrell just now?
Sorry, Steve Carroll. I've got...
Didn't he write Alice in Wonderland?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Miranda Crossgrove is Margot.
You're really doing a bad job at this.
Julie Andrew is the is Rue's mom.
Okay, you just skipped right over Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, she's whatever. Russell Brand is Dr. Nefario.
Do you think? Maybe.
Russell Brand. No.
I don't know any of these names.
Jason Segel is Vector.
Yes.
What?
You didn't
like
know
a
that.
Money
I did not know
this. On a massive scale.
That.
A lot of people call me Vector. They say that I look a lot like Vector.
Oh, yeah.
Which a lot of people call me.
I have an orange shirt that I wear, and when I wear it, people say that I look like
That's
Vector.
That's so weird.
So anyway, Knives Out.
All right.
Let's go around the table, give it out of 10. Henry, starting with you.
Wow. What a... you have no metric. You don't know how harsh a critic I am. This number is going to be entirely meaningless to anyone listening to
Spit
this.
Spit it out.
So go right ahead.
I'm waiting.
Out
I'm gonna
with
give it,
it.
I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. That was a good movie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it. Although I did fall asleep the second time I watched it.
I was there.
We watched it at 10 at night. That's why.
Mm.
And because of this, I will give it a 7.75, 7.75. Is that allowed? Is it just whole number star ratings?
No, you can do whatever.
There are no
rules. Yeah,
7.7.
I think this is the first one where I've had people do out of 10. So
7 stars.
Okay. So, you know,
I don't.
In my rating, like, this movie, it was better than what I was expecting, but it's not going to win, like, the movie of the decade or anything like that.
No.
So, you know, I'd give it something like a 2 pie.
Okay. That's understandable.
That's
out of 10, of course.
That's about 6 1/3 for the...
Less
you know what? Let's
listeners.
Round that up to a 7 for 5.
All right.
All right. How about you, Truman?
I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Excellent.
Really good. I
loved
it.
You know what's great about this movie? Closing thoughts. It was... I don't want to spoil it or anything.
Okay, good. Me neither. So let's take a quick ad break and then we'll come back, excuse me, with some spoilers.
You have ads?
Yeah. It's funky.
You have AIDS?
Yeah.
This
it's
ad
pretty
specifically
funky.
Was sponsored by
Now.
Let's go to that sponsor now. So thanks again to insert sponsor name here. For sponsoring this episode.
Dude, I love that one.
Do you want to start?
Are you
again?
Okay?
No, it's okay. I got some water.
This podcast is being brought to you by what little internet connection we have in the tuberculosis quarantine.
Honestly?
So now we'll be getting into full spoilers. Full spoilers ahead, full steam ahead, full beam ahead, light beam. That's right, Beam.
Ultralight
if they've
Beam
gotten
by
this
Kanye
far,
West.
Awesome. Yep.
So, yeah, this is spoiler room, boiler room. So let's go ahead and say, what were you gonna say, Thomas?
Now that you've made it this far,
congrats! Like, first of all,
yeah.
Wow, I love you.
Harrison Ford does.
That's true. Harrison
he's not
Ford
even
will,
in the
will
movie.
Die eventually.
He was just in the theater with us, and he had a heart attack and died.
It's supposed to be him. Supposed to be the Call in the Wild. Yeah.
Interesting choice of words there.
Oh, haha. Because yeah, okay.
But you know what this movie did really, really well.
What?
I like the movie. Though.
Thanks. I like the movie too.
Thanks, man. And myself. Got it
I
for
really
my
liked
actually.
How they portrayed teenagers in here. Like, some of these small personal touches, I felt like this was a very accurate portrayal of the modern-day teenager.
So we had a
because of the
student?
Nazi stuff?
Because of the Nazi stuff, because of the marijuana stuff, because of the cracked phones.
I don't know. For
the,
me...
The cracked phones were a nice touch.
Yes, very nice. I love that touch.
For me, the marijuana stuff... Oh, that's not true. Never mind. I was going to say, I've never encountered. I have encountered. I've never been... tempted.
Are we allowed to
neither of us.
Do the people listening to this know like how old we are as a group?
So let's real quick, I'm 17. Henry,
I'm 20.
I am 18 years old.
I'm ageless, timeless,
faceless,
unstoppable,
surpriseless.
I believe he is 17.
Any advice for us mortals?
Keep on dreaming.
Alright.
So yeah, there were Nazis in the film. Or not
well,
one.
Yeah.
It was like a teenager who had social media and therefore just assumed the role of Nazi. And it was more believable than I would have liked.
But also the way that the adults interacted with the teenagers I thought was quite well done, especially this older generation of adults.
All right.
Not to say that I relate to like a 16-year-old Nazi boy, but being on your phone constantly during family outings, gatherings,
I've done that.
Funerals, etc.
I found it was interesting, even when everyone else was like yelling and blowing up about, you know, something in the will or
just,
you know, something.
Chilling.
Yeah. He was sitting there on his phone.
I'm not
a zoomer.
I'm not on my phone all the time, but at family gatherings, I'll admit I'm kind of a bit of a group, especially like in that scenario. If like the only other kid near my age was the polar opposite of me.
Yeah, and for me, it would depend on like what side of the family, because like if I'm on my mom's side, I got a bunch of uncles and aunts that I can just talk politics with all day, and they'll be like, "This is awesome."
Wow. What a thought.
Well, mostly because we're very respectful with each other about all that.
Which this family is not. They portray a very broken family.
Ooh,
in the film.
Really something, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
How do we feel about their family dynamics?
Hang on.
It was so cool to watch.
This is just, on that note, one detail I noticed, and let me know if you guys noticed this too, or if I am right in feeling like a sleuth. Every time that they referenced the main character's ethnicity, they all said something different.
The first time
like
they were
Colombian,
like
Honduras, Ecuador, Peruvian. It was.
So
I thought it was really
funny.
They
never got to clarify where she was from.
Oh, they totally did.
But yeah, kind of went with the, like, I don't know. They had a conversation about immigration, whatever.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Honestly, I just kind of thought of her as South
American. It was very.
Because I'm an ugly North American.
It's kind of woke, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny.
Like, it kept very current with the issues and, like,
played with them well.
Yeah, it was not cringe, bro.
Yeah, it was good.
Like that Disney Channel flow.
All right, the plot. Are there holes?
Thick.
Are there?
Well, before we get into that, because that's a little bit of deeper cuts there. I want to talk about the humor of this.
Okay.
Because based on the trailer, I thought that the humor was going to be mostly just, like, because the trailer that I had seen, I saw it before Jojo Rabbit, I saw it before Art of Racing in the Rain, was just the shot of Chris Evans going, eat boop, eat boop, eat boop, definitely eat boop.
Which
and
was
so,
funny. But not representative of the movie.
Right. And so I thought, is it just going to be swearing humor the whole time? Is it just going to be, like, you know, funny because they're mean to each other? And some of it was, but for the most part, they had really good moments of subtle humor that was just characters in the background doing something hilarious.
It did.
And it worked really well.
I don't like about Marvel movies. No, it didn't do it. Which is like, I don't know. It's funny when you're taken completely out of the action by, like, an aside kind of little quip from one of
the
superheroes
characters
that you know and love.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But, like, does it keep the plot going? Nah.
No.
But sometimes it does. So, I'm going back to me being a diehard Halo fan. One of the things that Halo does a lot, and that I, since I've played Halo, have noticed in other movies and shows, is they'll have something completely unbelievable that never would have happened that makes your suspension disbelief start to break and you start to focus on, like, flaws or holes in the film, and then there will be a moment of comedic relief and you're like, oh, haha, and it brings you back there. And it's one of those asides that's kind of necessary, and there's one in particular that I'd like to point out.
Mm-hmm.
The James Bond guy, whose name I've forgotten again, wow.
That's okay.
Sherlock Holmes.
Benoit Blanc, by the way.
He's supposed to be, like, all mysterious and dark, and there's one particular scene that's a lot darker and scarier than the rest of them, that hides one clue to the solution.
You can get into it. There are spoilers accepted in this zone.
All right. There's the scene where she meets the girl for the ransom, and it's not the girl who actually sent her the note, and she has to, like, save her life and everything.
Mm.
And it just felt wrong. It was I was nervous the whole time. I wasn't focusing on what I should have been focusing on,
you guys.
But it needed to get from there to a more lighthearted conversation the way it did it with just with a well-timed comedic moment. It switched from there back to this James Bond guy who's been left in the car just chilling with his headphones in, and he's just singing along with this music. This guy is supposed to be dark and mysterious. And I thought moments like that, that are aside from the action, yes, like you were talking about, Kat, actually kind of do move the story along. Like, okay,
well, it's different because it's not like cutting right out of the action. It's not like the main character kind of smashing some bad guys' heads in, and then he's like, haha, joke.
Right, yeah.
And things so, continue. It was a, it was a cut to it.
What I pictured when Kat was talking about, you know, cutting right from the action is like, or like a dark moment, is like, you know, you see something dark happening and there's like dark music surrounding it, and then like a hard smash cut to something comedic happening, which this wasn't. The scene that she was in,
I felt like it was.
No, it had a nice end. It zoomed in on the phone with the 911 being dialed, and then it ended and
if
cut
it
to
her. If it had just
her.
Cut to the like the ambulance pulling upside the guy outside the guy in the car, like that would have been fine.
Like yeah, if she had like fallen over or like collapsed and then smash hard cut, that would have been a little more jolting.
I don't know. That one felt really jarring to me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, wow, that's understandable. Fran, by the way. You know what bothered me?
Us not knowing
the first time she lied, she had to like run to the Etruscan boar vessel to vomit into it.
Etruscan boar vessel.
And the last time she lied in the film,
she was able
to really
hold it in.
She really held it in for like a very long time, to the point that I was like, wow, why did she vomit? Did she just have a bad lunch today, or like what's going on? She's been saving it up just so she can puke on Captain America.
Throughout the film, she began to be able to get better at holding it in.
That's true.
It was a very gradual
thing. Development I missed.
It's amazing what lying does to you.
Ouch! Wow, that really hit home. I'm gonna take any opportunity I can to complain a little bit about the vomiting mechanic and how nobody smelled the vomit. All right, continue with the conversation.
Okay. So I feel like in terms of comedic beats, one of the first comedic beats of the film, probably the first, is when Fran is bringing dead man his breakfast. And this is another way that it both paid homage to the genre and subverted it in a satirical way. Is when she was bringing him his breakfast, and then she sees the dead body in, you know, a classic, you know, murder mystery whodunit kind of thing. She would see the dead body and then drop it and scream, and like it would shatter on the ground.
But she
and she doesn't do that.
Yeah, she catches it and she goes, oh, shoot.
And I was so happy about that, because that was such a great choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be unrealistic for someone to walk in on a dead body and just straight up drop the tray over dramatically. And instead, you know, be like, oh, yeah, like start to draw, like
stumble with
like not realize she's holding things in her hand, and then all of a sudden realizing that she's holding things in her hand.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I thought it worked really well.
Yeah. It's just very realistic for a murder mystery. I know all about murder mysteries. Live through them all the time, of course. It just really pulled it off. It made it kind of believable. A wacky cast of characters like the house from Clue. All the characters were really fleshed out though,
it
and they were believable.
It did feel
like
Clue at the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, it's kind of gimmicky. That's...
No, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
You know, the foreshadowing with Ransom. Honestly, Ransom's character was just created to foreshadow. I'm gonna like be pretty.
Yeah, we're in spoiler mode, dude. Go.
Yeah. So like Ransom. First of all, let's go with just the name, Ransom. The name is literally called. His name is Ransom. Like, and he has various moments throughout the movie where he's holding things for ransom, or the opposite.
Is that even true, though?
Paying people with.
Well, ransom is a vague term.
Right.
But I don't think that it fits in this context, maybe, personally?
Well, I have to say, like, Ransom, it's such a weird name. Why would you name your kid Ransom? This is clearly
because
more
murder mysteries are the family business. And I agree, it was a little jarring, it didn't unsuspend the fit. Okay, something I missed, actually, throughout the film, what was the thing with him being called Hugh?
So his name is Hugh Ransom, whatever the whole...
Gilbert or something
so
like that.
So Ransom is his middle name.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the
if Ransom was my middle name, I'd totally go by Ransom.
When the
your
cops
middle
like,
name
yo,
is Lion.
What's up, Hugh?
Why are you not call going by Lion?
But he makes all the servants in the household call him Hugh, which turns out to be a plot point. I don't think that it was made clear enough in the film that he makes the servants call
notably,
him Hugh.
Yeah,
missed
but
it.
It's, I don't know, you don't want to figure it out before they reveal it, right?
Yeah, but you want there to be clues so it doesn't feel like, no, because Hugh kind of sounds like you when it's forced out of you, like you're shaking him. I enjoyed it nonetheless. I just thought that that was one place where it was a little bit weak.
When the grandfather is describing the character of Ransom, the guy who died. I don't remember his name.
Granddad.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They do a bunch of foreshadowing just in that scene. They talk about how the grandson is too much, or like the grandfather. He has a lot in me, and like, or I see a lot of me in him, and that's a bad thing. Is more or less what he says. And as we see at the end of the film, he has this elaborate plan just like his grandfather.
Always would.
And, like, always had it and had, like, the grand scheme of
and
things.
And plays his games,
yes,
etc.
Exactly. But also, in that exact same scene, he's describing how they are so similar that they cannot tell a prop knife from a real one.
Mm-hmm.
And I called it from a mile away as soon as he pulled out the knife.
Yeah.
And he was going to go in and stabby the main character.
Yeah.
Ransom, I called that that was a prop knife. Because he cannot tell the difference.
Right, and I thought that...
The Game of Thrones chair.
I thought that that was going to be a reference not to Ransom and the choices he would make, but...
you thought he faked his death.
Yeah, I thought that the dead guy dies with a knife, and so I thought that he didn't actually die, and for some reason her memory of him slitting the... Anyway.
I'll be honest, I suspected that as well. I kind of... Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, as soon as I realized the medicine mistake, I went, okay, switching the labels, anyone could do that. If I was going to kill this guy, that's how I'd do it. And, you know, this guy.
What do you mean that's
writes,
how you do it? He's an old man in a house filled with knives.
Look,
just like go
I'm
at it.
I'm a bad man. Look.
No.
This
she has a point here.
You're not a bad man. You're a bad guy.
Please,
like
no.
One of the trailers
you,
before
you,
this
let's
movie
not
used
talk
heavily.
About that anyway. So I kind of thought that the dead guy had switched the labels. And then faked his own death, like that. Not because of the knife scene, just because, like, the guy writes murder mysteries, and maybe he was thinking, hey,
this would
will
be, an
be tons
interesting
of fun.
Thing, yeah.
Can we get an F in the chat for that guy who slit his own throat for no reason? Like,
yeah.
I guess he was being cute and dramatic and stuff, but, like...
Right.
But it's
he was
that,
trying
you know,
to save his
nurse friend.
Nurse friend, yay.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing
like,
about this movie. During the entirety of it, the police
cool.
detectives are right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
it almost always. Like I love the TV show Psych, and in that show, there's so many cases where Lassiter or Jules are like, "Yeah, it was a suicide," and then Sean and Gus are like, because would a suicidal man put his steak in the fridge? No, he wouldn't care about leftovers. And then you know that leads on a. You know, a tangent that ends up being not a suicide.
Was that an actual plot, or, like, did you just come up with that on the spot? That was really, really good.
No, it's something similar to an actual
okay.
plot. I don't think that's exactly it. But, and so, you know, that kind of thing happens a lot. And in this case, it was a suicide, technically.
How do we
it's
feel
a great
about
film.
The characters of the other detectives, not James Bond?
Every character in the film was really good.
I like Lakeith Stanfield a lot.
I felt like the detectives were kind of one-sided.
Yeah, they weren't very rounded.
Yeah, but like,
they were kind of played into
the stereotypes. You have so many characters to round out here. You have so many like complex actions
yeah.
and all the family characters. And like, can you just let one of the police people just like fulfill their tropes?
I'll tell you who I hated, though.
Who did you hate?
Meg.
Who's Meg? Wait, which one was
yeah,
Meg?
She was not cute.
She was played by the 13 Reasons Why girl.
Yeah.
And, like, she treated the main character, Marta, so badly. Like, she pretended like she was her friend and offered her weed. and
tons
like
of friends do.
Yeah, tons of other stuff. That, you know, would be, like, a friend thing. But then when it came down to it, she, you know, chose her family over her to the extent of
selling her out.
Yeah, and trying to get her mom arrested.
Though not entirely intentionally.
You know, speaking of weed, let's go to our next sponsor.
Oh, yeah. which is actually Bad Decisions. So, no, I'm kidding. They're not a sponsor of this podcast. They haven't been since the first episode when we made an autism joke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay with autism jokes.
Yeah. Well, have you listened to the first episode?
No.
Yeah, okay.
You're a fool and a buffoon, and you should.
Yeah, you should listen to the last one.
So anyways, so I would love it if you guys could start talking about each of the characters and what you liked or disliked about each of them. I need to use the bathroom, so you guys can talk about that while I'm doing that.
Oh, dude, we have open mic.
Oh, man.
Let me put them in alphabetical
so
order real
Truman
quick.
Is gone. Welcome to the Thomas and Henry
Welcome
and Cat
to the improvised idol podcast.
Yes.
I messed up a bit.
The improvised idol podcast.
Here's the teaser.
Let's talk characters.
Okay.
Marta, the main character.
Vomits whenever
she lies.
I'm going to complain about it a little more.
Yeah, okay, as a mechanic in the to advance the plot, it's a little bit contrived, but like, that's kind of the point. It's a parody of a murder mystery, right? So, like, they're all gimmicky. You gotta have, like, some type of thing going on.
No, I'm okay with the thing. It's not that. It's just, they could have done more interesting things with it. They could have, like, had, the guy complaining about the smell, or she vomits in the cup in the car once, and they could have, like, I don't know, some sort of suspense, like, oh no, is he gonna notice? She even leaves it in the car with him alone when she goes into the building to go see the woman he's just killed. And they could have at least had, like, a little bit of attention detail on how to, like, carry it inside with her and throw it out. I don't know.
But, you know...
It bugged me. I...
Imagine this. You have this condition where you throw up a lot. Wouldn't people just... Like, well, you throw up a lot whenever you lie. Let's say that she's... Oh, man. Being a chronic liar would be a terrible trait to have with this condition.
You're talking to the wrong guy.
But the... Well, if you threw up every single time you lied, I'm sure being a chronic liar would be a problem.
I'd lie a little less, yeah.
But, like, I would assume that she has lied before. And it's probably made... And I would assume something like her car smells like vomit just constantly.
I don't know, she's got such a good heart. They say the phrase, you've got such a good heart, Marta, like,
which is
70
such,
times.
You're such a homie.
It's cute, yeah, I don't know.
I'm okay with the main character.
Her character has so much dimension outside of, like, the couple things they assign to her. It's like, it's cute, yeah.
But, like, if you're the caretaker for this old man,
yeah.
I would assume that you would also... Oh, man, maybe that one's not smell like vomit as much.
Alright.
But, like, I assume that there would still be... Like, she would have still vomited in there. But, like, he's rich enough that he has servants to, like...
By the way, what do we make of the first scene where she makes some food and everything that goes up to find him all stabbed and bloody and almost drops the tray? We learn later that she watched him slit his own throat.
No.
No, that was a different one.
Yes, that was a different moment.
So Fran, the housekeeper, discovers the corpse while Marta, the nurse, watched him do the deed, as it were.
Okay, all right.
Shall we advance on to the next character?
No,
sure. Perhaps the housekeeper?
Sure.
We talked about the main character. She's a homie. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, okay, sure.
I feel like that's the most important character, hence her being the main one.
Yeah.
And the housekeeper.
We got Mr. Grandpa as well.
The housekeeper was kind of like any character in Clue.
Yeah, she was, I mean...
There were a lot of those
Clue-type characters.
That's a good point.
Do you mean Clue the game or Clue the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
That's fair.
Welcome.
I just want to take a moment to point out that the characters include the game are small little pieces of colored plastic, so you can really assign any value you want to them.
Have you read the story of the characters in this movie?
If I'm trying to play a board game, why on earth would I read content?
Okay, in the first three pages of the instructions... Yeah. You need to know the motives
behind
these
characters. Have more than three pages.
You know, being... Yeah.
It's Clue. You just, like, you roll the die, you go places, do things, solve crimes.
This just sounds like a cover-up for you being bad at Clue.
Yeah, I'm bad at Clue.
Okay, here's the thing about Clue. You need to know the motives. You can't know the motives if you don't know the characters.
That's
very
not
important.
True.
It's step one.
You have to, like, write down what cards you think which people have.
Okay, but if you're the murderer in Clue...
Yeah?
Like, wouldn't you have a Mona?
Let's take this hypothetical situation into a realistic one, because you won't stop talking to me about a board game.
Let's talk about how this let's talk about how this movie relates to other whodunits.
We were gonna go through all the characters and we talked about one.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you some
jumping off point. For while I was gone, in case you guys didn't know what to say.
Can I just say, all the main boomers, the son, the other son, no, the...
Oh, you actually mean the boomers.
The daughter, the daughter's husband, the son, and then the daughter-in-law.
What was the point of Barbara from Shark Tank being there?
She
was great in the very beginning.
Shark Tank?
Yeah, Shark Tank.
Which
What's
character?
The point
so, okay,
of any
the old woman.
Anywhere,
the old
Jamie
woman.
Lee
what
Curtis?
Was the point
Rooney
of the.
Rooney,
no, no, no.
Rooney
not
Rooney
the
Rooney
really, really old woman. The white haired woman with.
With the lighter and the Miss
with
Blank.
Her self made company.
Yeah.
Oh, Jamie Lee
yeah,
Curtis.
Yeah,
sure.
Why is she a Shark Tank lady?
Because she is very
Thomas
similar
is
to Barbara.
Sexist.
And she All talks very similar to Barbara from Shark Tank.
She was. She
and
was one of the,
she reminded
no, this,
me
this is
of
what
Barbara.
I'm talking about. She was one of those Clue-type characters. Like, there's one who's, like, he's the old man, he smokes his pipe, and he's all stubborn. Mm-hmm. And then there's the girl with the lighter and the invisible ink who's, like, she's a little bit stealthier. She loves the mystery and the games and the kind of things. That's the first thing she talks about is his games. And I do like how they tied that around at the end with the invisible ink, but that one was yet another Clue character. She's, like, the woman who's... husband is dead, the widow who...
No, her husband wasn't dead. Her husband was cheating on her.
No, sorry, lighter lady's husband was cheating on her, but the one you're talking about with her own company, the self-made one.
No, the other one. They both... No. There were two. Talking about the one who had her husband cheating.
Yeah, so
oh,
there's
you,
the
you
one
are
who stole
yes.
the tuition money of her daughter.
Yes. Okay, that
I liked
was the one
that
I
character
was, I
a lot.
About.
I love
yeah.
that actress.
I,
don't know what
no,
I'm
talking
about.
I also
from
Barbara,
like
that character.
Was she in Us?
I didn't see Us.
Oh, what a film.
When you say Us, all I'm thinking is the Monster Cat song, which
Snaps.
Is bum ba bum ba da ba 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 da ba da ba ba.
Here's something interesting about the movie Us, and it's going to be a little bit of a tangent. But why hasn't this movie been if not tangents?
Look, I'm sorry.
What is
that? I said movie instead of podcast.
What are we?
And
that's next episode, folks.
One thing about Us, the movie Us, is that, you know, I listened to a review and someone pointed out that U.S. is us, United States.
Ah.
And that reminded me of when I was a child. I thought I would be a fantasy writer, and I wrote this book and these characters. One was named Agra, and the other was named Theus. And then when I was older, and those were just names that I came up with out on the top of my head. And then Agratheus was the name of the world that these characters lived on, because I was creative, but to a certain extent.
if I'm like, coming up with more than two character names, I better be getting a bonus.
Yeah.
Like Romulus and Remus?
No, uh-huh. no, nothing like that.
No.
Actually, a little bit like that.
But different enough that it's interesting still.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
So, and then and Agra was the like kind of, you know, underdog of the story, right? And kept and Theus was in power and kept, you know, taking advantage of Agra. And then when I was older and I had abandoned that story, I Googled Agra and Theus, and I discovered that Agra is actually a city in the Middle East. And Theus is spelled the U.S.
Oh.
And so I was making a political commentary before I even knew the country that I lived in.
What's up with everything being woke? I don't remember watching any movies from the 90s and they get really deep into, like, specific 90s politics. Or maybe it just goes over my head, but, like, last few movies I've seen, this one especially, like, they talk about very hot topics.
They do, but it's not the
very
main
current
point.
Events.
I actually liked the way the current events were brought in.
Shoutouts to Miss Brand for thinking my harmless play scene was supposed to be a political commentary.
Which one was yours?
I never had
it was the yin and yang?
No. It was the shopkeeper that was being interrogated by the mafia.
Oh, that's right. And she was like, you know, I really like how, you know, Sam, Uncle Sam.
Yeah, and I was like
yes.
I meant to do that.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
And then it actually did inspire me. It was a good time.
Yeah. So I think this was a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
it was a movie.
Please go see it.
It happened. I would recommend seeing it, yeah.
If only for the font and the title card, honestly.
Really?
It's so pretty, yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk now about a couple things that annoyed me a little bit and kept this from being a perfect 10 of a movie.
Ooh, complaining.
I like complaining.
It was really long.
It was long, and it felt long at parts, but then at other parts, I was so strung along by the action that I didn't care about
really?
The length.
I think I was just so tired that I didn't notice.
That's fair. Also, getting this movie spoiled for you in any way hurts it.
Would probably ruin it.
Yeah, so I...
So, don't go see it now.
Right. I heard... Yeah, hopefully if you're listening to the part, you've already seen it, because we warned you about spoilers, idiot.
Gab, you've watched this twice now, right?
I've watched it twice now.
So, how is the rewatchability factor?
It's low, honestly. I know, well...
You can't really watch it again?
Once again, it's the trope. It's a murder mystery.
Yeah, that's just
it's kind of dependent on the big reveal at the end. So I know what's gonna happen, and like I appreciate it because, I think one of the most rewatchable movies and therefore best movies of all time is 2018 hit film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really matter what happens in the plot because it's so pretty to look at that. Wow, I love that I'm watching this movie. It's so pretty. And honestly, this one's kind of similar. The house, the set for everything is really gorgeous. The little, like, farmland that they're on.
For the first half, they kept, like, just getting close-ups of, like, the ceramic stuff around.
I really enjoyed that.
Just to give you the idea of, like, the guy who lives here is rich, and he's a little weird, but he's not, like, really weird. He's just rich.
Is this your father?
I mean, he's weird enough that he slits his own
throat. No, my father is...
So
he's weird enough that he slits his own throat, which, by the way, they showed that on camera to the poor woman.
Yeah,
really.
I had to close my eyes.
He put it right up there, and then
there
you saw his arm move, but it cut to her and the blood.
Yeah, honestly, graphic-ness-wise, there was a lot of speech of injections. Sometimes they just get close
like
and personal
needles.
With the needles.
Yeah,
I thought the needles were actually pretty fine. It was the knife that got me. Like slitting someone's throat hurts.
And I'm glad they showed it because they should have. But I've had too many needles inside my veins from hospitals and injuries, and I don't want to. Yeah.
But it could have been worse.
I don't like needles.
And so as I was saying with spoilers, the one kind of spoiler that I had heard going into this is that the first plot twist. Kind of ruins the second plot twist. Not the second, the last one. And so, like, the whole time that I was watching this, I was like, okay, so that's the first plot twist, so then how would that spoil the last one? I don't know, we'll have to wait and see.
I'm not sure which two twists you're referring to.
The first one being that she, you know, mixed up the doses.
Okay.
I could be wrong, maybe there was another plot twist before then that I didn't pick up on.
It was a twisty movie.
It was really good. If I can't say that.
And then the last one, I assume you're talking about the big reveal.
Yes, the fact that he...
The Prestige. Was that this decade?
What?
The Prestige?
Yeah, I think so.
What's The Prestige?
I think that was 2011.
I don't do movies, dude.
It's okay. A Christopher Nolan movie.
So, The Prestige
and... Right, Christopher
and,
Nolan?
Something like that. The Prestige and one other very, very similar movie came out
now
at the same
time. Now you see me. Oh, no.
Hold on, no.
No, it's not.
Wait, hold on.
That one I did see.
Came out at the exact same time, and it hurts both of the films, because they were both good, but they were, like, both...
Very similar.
Very similar, and, like, they didn't know that they were creating it. They might have been creating off the same... original concept, because you know how some movies are made, but like it's just it made it so that it hurt both movies. Both movies are fantastic. Prestige, I think, is slightly more. It's this magician who has murdered someone and is being tried by someone else, or is being but it's someone else is taking the blame for it. And so the whole idea of the Prestige is that this magician is like there are these grand flashbacks of this magician's greatest trick up to the murder of someone. I don't remember. Maybe he wasn't killing someone. I don't know. So someone was in jail, and the more you go on about it, you meet Tesla. They're doing duplicating tricks, and Tesla's like, yo, I got this great big new technology thing where I can clone you. And then he does it. And like...
I'm okay with that.
They did
Tesla.
Yeah, and they did magic tricks with that, and it was super, super cool. Would recommend watching it if you've not.
Alright, well, we'll have to watch that sometime.
Yes.
Thomas has been showing me movies I've never seen before. The Truman Show, I saw that for the first time just the other day.
Which, honestly, great movie.
Yeah.
Peter Weir.
I can't tell if you're biased.
Ed Harris. I mean, I may be a little bit, because, you know, my name, and also Jim Carrey is a great actor.
Great concept. Great concept, great acting. I'm actually not sure if I like the plot of that movie. I would have liked to see a little bit more after he was released into the real world.
Oh, that's
and a little
the,
bit less of
the
them trying to freaking
the
kill
movie.
The guy.
You don't know.
Yeah, the exact point of the movie is that they don't show you.
Yeah, you have no
and
idea what's
because
going
no
on.
One else sees. Only Truman sees.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And that's kind of the point.
It's
but
I suspect you've seen
sorry.
This movie more times.
Yes,
than
I've seen it like four times.
Put a spoiler warning for both of them on it.
I watch it like
really?
Once every 2 years.
So
every morning you wake up at 4 a.m. so you can start your schedule with watching The Truman Show.
This
yeah.
man has never seen Shrek or Shrek 2.
I have
2,
also never seen any
or
of the
Shrek 3 or Shrek 4 or Shrek.
Shrek the Next Generation.
Yeah. Or Shrek the Next Generation or Shrek. Spooktacular or Shrek
Puss in Boots.
I can't tell if you're actually
Shrek
naming
Shrek
movies
Shrek
Puss in Boots
or if you're like actually if you're joking. I'd never seen a Shrek movie. I can't tell if you're kidding.
What's the Shrek Christmas holiday special called?
Shrek 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Shrek and the Magic School Bus Gang
no, don't
go inside of a dragon.
Shrek 6 Donkey Strikes Back.
Considering that Shrek 5 is trying to be rebooted by Illumination right now,
I've seen a little of the musical.
That, you know,
so,
that's decent.
Travel as song. I was saying about the movie...
Okay, sorry.
What even was I saying about the movie?
It was good.
It was good. One complaint. Oh, so yeah, with the whole, the first plot twist ruins the last plot twist. I don't... When I saw it, I thought that was ridiculous, and I was like, no, what? That spoiler that I'd heard doesn't make sense. But now that I've thought about it a little bit more, it makes a little bit more sense, because you know that the whole point of him slitting his own throat is so that it would be ruled as a suicide.
Yeah.
And then she wouldn't be convicted, and, you know, she could get the fortune in his will, and her mom wouldn't go to prison. And then, at the end, it turns out that she didn't kill him at all, and he just committed suicide.
Yeah.
And so...
This was a cool twist.
It was a really cool twist.
Like,
okay,
I was surprised.
I like how the son tried to frame the daughter the same way the father tried to save the daughter.
Right.
They're trying to play off those two being opposite sides of the same coin.
Yeah. That's and granted, I saw this movie. I finished seeing this movie not too long ago. So
still thinking about it.
Yeah. There's still some thoughts running around in my head. Which characters are foils of each other, as you just mentioned? et cetera, et cetera.
Look at you using these big words like foil and...
et cetera.
Et cetera. Those are the best.
Yeah, I'm practically smart. Kat, I think, may have just fallen asleep for a second.
It's getting a little late.
It is.
Hey, I don't make the rules. I don't even follow them.
So, one other thing that annoyed me a little bit is when she was still trying to cover up from Daniel Craig that she did anything, she had to kind of play like an idiot sometimes.
Dude.
And that was hard to watch. Like when she...
The mud?
Yeah, the mud specifically.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah, when, you know, she's walking a couple paces ahead of him. She could have just stayed there. She could have just stayed there because that's where the mud ended.
No.
And so there would already be her prints.
But she needed to come back because she went both in and out.
And out through that way. Yeah. That's fair.
I did notice that and I was like, that is interesting. And then I was like, she went both in and out.
But even then, the way that she played it off, what? I can't hear you.
Yeah, it was a little
weird.
That
was forced.
The Chris Evans, like when they do the flashback of Chris Evans sneaking into the, or sorry, Ransom sneaking into the...
He does it right.
He does it right. He goes around and he sneaks over the fence. Mm-hmm. And it's little details like that I really appreciate the continuity of this movie.
Yeah.
And I kind of appreciate that because that's just what like you'd expect out of his character. For one, he's the son of the mystery man, and
Grandson.
For the other, he's kind of a bit of an outcast for his siblings, and I'd imagine he's used to hiding things, and as someone who is also used to hiding things from their immediate family, you learn to sneak around like that. Like, I could totally see myself doing exactly those things. Wow.
Killing your grandfather?
Okay, look, I knew as soon as I said it that I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Have you killed your grandfather?
Not recently.
Yeah.
Can we change that?
No, for the record, I have 4 grandfathers and they're all alive.
Not for long.
Yeah, not if I get my way.
I've only got 2, and one of them's that, so.
I don't understand it, but I respect it. Other thing I have to say really quick is, just as a parting note here from me, I'll let you guys have some parting notes as well.
Oh, are we ending it?
Pretty soon. The baseball, I thought that the baseball might have a little bit more of a significance in the story. It was, and I think if I think about it more and maybe watch it a second time, I'll notice some symbolism.
It was
or
a red
just
herring.
Thematic meaning in the baseball.
Yeah.
And I also like how the baseball gets more chewed up by the end because of the dog. I thought that was really entertaining.
Who was the last one to carry the baseball?
Jamie Lee Curtis. What?
The spy dude, right? He gets it from the dog?
No.
No, but Jamie Lee Curtis brings it and puts it back in the office at the end.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Ooh,
and
wait,
that,
which
that,
one was Jamie Lee Curtis?
She's the person that you said looks like Shark Tank.
Gotcha. Okay, so it did have thematic ideas.
Oh,
why do you
right,
say that?
Because
it was originally
her
thrown
husband that
by the husband out the window. The detective picked it up, carried around in his hands,
and
played
the dog
around. Dog carried around, all that jazz. And it was... And then the last person to pick it up was the
dang.
Person who
okay,
finds
so
out
yeah.
the truth.
Okay, so yeah,
this is a decent movie.
Now that I'm thinking about it, he throws it out the window when he opens the note that he was going to send to
the
guy's wife. Yeah, I thought it would like break something, and it was like a thing of anger, but it didn't. It was an open window.
Yep.
So
he opens the letter and he sees that it's blank, and he's like, "You son of a heck!" And then he puts the letter down and he throws the baseball out the window. And then at the end, she brings the baseball back in, and that's when she notices the blank letter and lights the match and reads it.
Oh, so it is.
He
kind
was
of
his
a motivator.
Own undoing in, you know, the movie dramatic way and not the real way.
Okay, but one of the continuity errors that I noticed is that at the end of the film, all of the family members are looking up at the main character,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
This is after. She knows that her husband's been cheating on her.
And it, by the way, is also drinking from the My House, My Rules mug, which I think is funny because it's
And
her
house. Yes. One of the last shots is just her going,
which
and it just says My House.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the old woman, the Shark Tank girl.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, Jamie Lee Curtis. She is not in tears or anything. Like, she looks completely... composed and everything.
Well, after punching her husband.
Well, yeah. Did you notice that?
Right. But when she punched her husband, she was like, visibly upset. She still had, like, she was teary-eyed.
Really?
And then looking back, and then when she looked up, like, completely dry
everything
face.
Was fine. I mean, time had passed, of course. But
not that long.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with it. She seems like a punch your husband and then just be stone-faced person.
Honestly,
I've met a few of those.
I'd punch my husband, too.
Punch your husband and move on. We have things to do.
And I think that's the parting note that we have for this.
Oh, my gosh. What a good parting note.
Parting thoughts on the film.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Parting thought number one. It was happy. I liked that a lot. I liked that the main character had some kind of moral conflict about, like, well, she's cool and all, but she killed a guy. I like that she.
But then
know.
She didn't.
But
she didn't.
The conflict was
still
there.
The Joker film that came out recently, y'all know the one. Everyone said it was so super good, but I didn't like it that much just because it was kind of sad. I like happy movies that make me feel good inside. I know.
But that doesn't mean that you have to like it. Even if that's the point of the movie.
The culprit of the crime is someone that you're like conditioned to hate from the beginning, and like it's comfy. I also liked how there was no romantic tension between her and the detective.
Yes.
Because they very easily could have taken it there,
and
they
the
didn't. Yeah, literally, I
was there
love
any...
watching movies where there's, like, a female protagonist, and there's, like, no romantic motive. Because, like, it just gets in the way. It's a murder mystery. Her employer died. People are yelling at her. This is not the time
I'd
for falling in love.
It's refreshing, but I'm also a sucker for a good romantic plotline,
yeah, okay,
personally.
But it's a murder mystery.
Makes me all squirmish inside. Go for it.
And thank so, you, yeah, I like that, and I also really liked, there were some really great, I guess, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, this film is mostly white, except for, you know, the main character and the black detective.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that they are immigrants themselves, all the characters.
Gets
right.
brought up constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
like,
there is...
We are American in the legal way. We came here illegally.
Okay.
Like, that was one of the family fights.
Yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't saying that we are. He said that it's okay if you can.
Well, no,
like,
he also said that
example,
we are. We did that. We think... built this off of an immigrant. Because they didn't state that they were immigrants.
I thought that later... Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're fudging
we're
the details. But, it has been, like, 3 hours by this point since the movie got out. But the thing that I was going to note is the one of the most racist characters, at least the most openly racist character, because we didn't actually see the Nazi person say anything racist.
Yeah. For all we know, he was a great guy.
Yeah.
The Frank Oz guy?
No. What?
No.
Was that
kid.
Frank?
Gotcha. Well, yeah, he was the Nazi.
He was like open.
But the guy who he made a Hamilton reference and he said, "Immigrants, we get the job done."
Oh yeah, that was painful.
Yeah, and he's like, "Hamilton, yeah, get it?"
And he like points at the. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
that,
at this point, I still thought that Lakeith Stanfield's character was played by Leslie Odom Jr., which I was wrong about. And I feel bad for being wrong about that.
You fool.
Because Lakeith Stanfield was great in Sorry to Bother You.
You saw Sorry to Bother You?
Oh,
yeah.
Crap.
What a film. It's on my top 5.
Of all time?
It came out last year. So it's on my top 20.
Very cool, very cool. For what she's referencing, we were going to do this podcast about, we talk about our top 5 movies of 2019 and then our top 20 movies of the last decade.
And perhaps we'll do that later.
Yeah, perhaps.
I'll do this, like, right now.
No.
It's definitely 3:01.
I definitely got to go to bed. So,
and we are still, for what it's worth, inside of an IHOP.
So for anyone who's listening to this and wants to hear you guys tell more jokes or talk more about Rian Johnson movies, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at my address.
Let's not talk about that.
Let's dox each other.
The name is Henry Riker, and if I ever go public doing anything, which will probably be streaming video games, it'll probably be under the name Henry Riker.
Or something similar.
You'll find me there.
Spell it wrong if you have to.
It's spelled with an I, it looks cooler with a Y, but there's nothing I can do about that.
Technically.
No.
I'm available on Twitter at Mayor of Salt Lake. No caps, no spaces. I am the Mayor of Salt Lake. Please direct all inquiries or problems to my secretary, Truman Barnes.
Yeah. And you can find her secretary, Truman Barnes, at In Conclusion No on Twitter. At In Conclusion No. That's also my same for Letterboxd. That's the only one that's coming to mind right now.
It's a very entertaining Reddit, Twitter feed. I encourage
it. It's good,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Twitter feed are so entertaining. Thomas, where can people find you?
I currently don't know what I'm doing with my life, so probably don't try and find me anywhere. But if you do,
how about
maybe
you try and
Twitter?
Find yourself first?
Let's try Twitter. I mean, on Twitter, I am Thomas_stay. That's with an at the beginning, but...
Well, it's Twitter.
It's an important thing to note.
If you undo the ads, I'm sure that you might be able to find me. It depends on if you type out the word underscore or if you put in the character underscore.
Yep.
Besides that, I sometimes go by the real Stay Man.
Good for you.
Thanks. But not for long, because as I have previously stated, I am going to murder him.
Yeah. Whoopsie-daisy. And I'd also like to just quick plug, I've been putting sketches and video versions of the podcast up on the YouTube channel, which is Asbestos Free Comedy, ASBSTOS-freecomedy.youtube.com. I don't think that's actually the URL.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah, it's close enough. Thank you. I love you. Stay safe. And I love you.